Jim Elliott and four other missionaries were seeking to reach out to a fierce Ecuadorian tribe known as the Alcas when those same Indians turned on them. The shocking news of the deadly attack spread around the world. But Jim's widow, Elizabeth, surprised many when she and her young daughter, Valerie, lived there with the same tribe for 2 years, helping them learn about the love and forgiveness found in Jesus Christ. On Gateway to Joy, Elizabeth Elliott shares with you the lessons learned through that and many other events in her remarkable journey. Thanks for joining us for Gateway to Joy. Here's Elizabeth Elliott.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliott, talking with you again today about the grace of forgiveness. What about forgiving others? Is it possible, when we have been not merely hurt, but perhaps destroyed, ruined, abandoned, put out of work, lied about, imprisoned, I want to remind you gently and lovingly that there's nothing new about any of those things. Nothing new at all. There isn't anything that has happened to you that hasn't happened thousands of times to other people. The Bible says, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. The road to peace of soul is forgiveness. When something seemingly unforgivable happens to us, we have no peace, do we? Our peace is disintegrated. And the only way back to peace is to forgive the person who has sinned against us. Christ, when he was actually hanging on the cross, with the nails through his hands and the agony that that form of torture took, he forgave his killers while he was in the process of dying. He prayed that his Father would forgive them because, he said, they know not what they do. Forgiveness is not denying the reality of sin. This would deny the need for the cross in our faith and for Christianity itself. Why would we bother with Christianity if we didn't know that we needed a Savior? We have a Savior, a friend for sinners. Jesus, what a friend for sinners. He is a sinner's friend. That's what he was called when he was here on earth. And Jesus once told a story about forgiveness. He told about a king who had forgiven one of his subjects a debt which in today's English money would be about £1 million. And that man went out from the king's presence, remembering somebody who owed him a few shillings, found the man, grabbed him by the throat, and said, "Pay up." Well, when the king heard about that evil, he recalled the man and had him severely punished. But Jesus told the parable for our own edification. He said that we are to humble ourselves and become like a little child, telling the story of how the debtor grabbed the throat of another debtor. Jesus said, "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." In Ephesians 4:32, we read, "Be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." Jesus taught the disciples to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." And then when he had finished teaching them the prayer, he said, "If you don't forgive your brother from your heart, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you." Does that mean that that is the unpardonable sin? That is the specific sin of which Jesus clearly said, "Neither will your Father in heaven forgive you." He will not forgive you if you will not forgive your brother. Well, when you think about it, it is an impossibility, isn't it? If we refuse to forgive our brother, then we are making it impossible for God to forgive us, because he cannot forgive us from that which we refuse to relinquish. He cannot deliver us from what we insist upon retaining. And the refusal of forgiveness is to insist on retaining the sin of unforgiveness. I hope I've made that clear. In Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15, that's the passage that I was just referring to, given just after he had told them how to say the Lord's Prayer, or the Our Father. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. My willingness, in other words, to forgive is always linked to my debt to Christ, my own dire need. And I have found it more difficult to forgive someone close to me than it is to forgive someone far away, someone who is virtually a stranger. Do you know that old song, "You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all"? It's true, isn't it? It's so easy to hurt the one we love, and it is so hard to say, "Forgive me." This morning, as I was just going down the stairs to go out to the garage and get in the car and come to the studio, my husband and I had what you might call just a minor altercation. It was a very little thing. But I went on down the stairs. We'd said goodbye, and I went out and got into the car. And just before I drove out the driveway, I heard him call me. And he had opened the second-story window, and he called out, "I love you. Forgive me." And as I drove off, I realized that I was much more at fault than he was. I should have been the one saying, "I love you. Forgive me." I want to be forgiven by God for my offenses. I know that if I really want to be forgiven by him, I must be willing to forgive the person who has offended me. My willingness to forgive is linked to my debt to Christ, my own dire need. If I am unaware of the tremendous debt that I owe to Jesus Christ for the blood he shed for me and the forgiveness that he offers me, it's going to be very difficult for me to forgive somebody else. Compare the debt that the man owed to the king, £1,000,000, with the debt that the other man owed to this debtor, a few shillings. Who acts like that? I'm afraid you and I. When we refuse to forgive one sin, maybe it was a very great sin, and we say, "Me forgive him after what he did to me? Me forgive her after what she said to me?" Remember how much God has forgiven us. How are we to forgive that person? First, I must receive forgiveness myself. I must receive forgiveness probably for my bitter reaction to that person. That's sin. I must ask for grace. I must offer my will to God, my feelings of resentment and bitterness and anger and hurt and self-pity. Oh, self-pity. Isn't that the most subtle, sneaky sin? And how easily it creeps in, and it just takes us right into a swamp. I have to ask for grace and forgiveness for those sins, and I must not dwell on the sin of the other person. Let me read to you from Psalm 119, verse 78. He says, "May the arrogant be put to shame for wronging me without cause." Here's the psalmist being very candid and honest about the fact that he has been wronged. "But," he says, and this is the clue for you and me, "I will meditate on your precepts." Isn't it a temptation to meditate and chew over in your mind and go through the whole scene 20 times what that person did or said? But the psalmist says, "But I will meditate on your precepts." That's the safe way. That's deliverance. Fenelon said, "In order to force us out of ourselves, we need a deep heart wound." Isn't it true? In order to learn the grace of forgiveness, we need to be deeply wounded ourselves. And then, through that wound, God humbles us and brings us to recognize how much he has forgiven us for. Remember the woman that poured the perfume on Jesus' feet and washed them with her hair? She was a woman who had been forgiven very much. And Jesus pointed out the contrast between her and the self-righteous Pharisee in whose house he was having dinner. He said she loved much, to whom much is forgiven. If we are not aware of how much God has had to forgive us, very likely we are not going to be willing readily to forgive our brother or our sister. We need to relinquish our right to an apology. That's a pleasure, isn't it, when somebody comes up and admits that they were wrong. And if you're sure they were wrong, you want them to admit that they were wrong, but maybe they're not going to do that. Jesus said, you must forgive those who trespass against you, not just those who apologize. The grace of forgiveness. We're going to talk about that some more tomorrow.
Anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.